Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you today at the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. I had a real blessing today. Over here when I came in, I met a couple from Berlin.
Wow.
Berlin, Germany. Praise the Lord. He made mention that I had spoken in their church and that I also came to his house and prayed for his wife while I was there. So praise the Lord. So good to have y'all today. So good to have you. I might say not only do we have this couple over here that's from Berlin, Germany, do we have anybody else here that's from out of state? Is there anybody else here from out of state? Florida? Okay, we have a couple over here from Florida. Wow, that's a long ways too. So we're glad to have y'all here. Praise the Lord.
New York City.
Y'all are from New York City. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Man, it's good. It's good to have you here. It's a wonderful thing to have a church that God shows up in. You know, that when we pray for people, miracles happen. We are so grateful that we serve that living God. He is a mighty God, and he has the requirements that he wants us to live under. Today, Jeff went over a few of those. It seems like we all see that evil report that Jeff talked about better than the good report that God says in his word about who we are. Last night I was watching a video. Everybody knows I love the cosmos, you know, the galaxies. And I mean, they're the creation of God, you know, and they're just magnificent. And this one guy was talking, he says, with what you see on the screen is what you could see if you could look through a straw that was 8 foot long at night. So in other words, if I could look through a straw that was 8 foot long, what I could see through that straw on the other end would be a section of space. And he said each one of them dots that I saw on there was not just a planet, but a galaxy. You know, which included tens of millions of stars and suns and each one of them dots. And I thought, you know, the problem with us, we don't know our God. We don't understand who he is. But I thought about a little story about a little boy and his dad and mother. They all moved to this new little city, and he was having to go to school, and he was a little guy. And they didn't live very far from school. So, you know, his daddy gave him a dollar for his lunch money. You know, so he put it in his pocket and he goes to school. Well, on the way to school, there was three young boys that were about a year older than him. And when they saw this new kid come in, they approached him and wanted to know, did he have any lunch money? And he said, well, yes, I have a dollar my dad gave me to buy lunch. And so they took it away from him and said, we want that money. And since there's three of us, you can't have it back. So he did without lunch that day. The next day, they did the same thing. The third day, he said, Dad, would you mind walking me to school today? And Dad says, I'll be happy to, son. So Dad and the boy, here's this 6 foot, 2 inch, whatever dad with a little guy about this big walking along beside him. And they get up to where these three boys are, and the little boy reaches in his pocket and waves his dollar. Guess what? Who did he have with him today? He had Daddy with him today. He ain't afraid of nothing or nobody because he's got Daddy, and he knows what his daddy can do. And that's the problem with us. We don't know what our daddy can do. We don't know the promises that he has promised to protect us, that he's given us all power and all authority over the forces of darkness. Everything we ask for is ours. He's given it to us. All we got to do is repent of sin and get rid of sin and walk holy in his presence. And then he'll answer our prayer every time. Every time. You know, all the promises of God are yes and amen. You know, I remember one time I was trying my best to teach a lady that was in a wheelchair. She called Daystar when I was on Daystar years ago. She called and she got one of the other ladies. And of course, after the show was over, they gave me her number and name and address and everything. Said, Thurman, you need to go by and visit with this woman and her husband because she's in a wheelchair and has been in it for many years. And said, you need to go by and minister to her. So I took the number and I called and asked the lady, can I come by on the way home tonight after the show here? Can I come by and talk to you about Jesus? I said, I'm one of the people that answer the phone here at Daystar. And they said, yes, we'd be happy. We'd love to have you. So I went over there and I took the word. Now then, Psalms 107 verse 20. So let's just look at this little scripture right quick. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. If I read that right, it said God sent a doctor to heal you. Is that not what it said? So what did it say God sent? Now, how in the world could he send his word and heal you? How does that work? He sent his word. He didn't say he sent a doctor, did he? He said he sent his word. Okay, now then, if he sent his word, then if I were to go to Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bore my sickness. Now, if Jesus took my infirmity and he bore my sickness, and I don't know about you, I don't want it. I'm going to let the master have it. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, how did I know he did this? By his word. I found that in his word. And then I find a promise like John 15:7. Now, this has a if in it. Now, this is where a lot of us miss it. If you abide in me. Now, that could be a problem, could it not? We might not be abiding in him. And you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a woman that marries a man that never fixes him any dinner. It's not good to him. If he wants something, he has to get it himself. You know, she won't do anything nice for him, whatever. She won't wash his clothes. If you want your clothes washed, Buster, wash them yourself. And then one day she comes to this man and says, oh, honey, I sure would like to have a nice new car.
No way.
There was no way she's going to get that car, is it? But now, if she's really a good wife, and she does all those things we talk about just automatically. I mean, every time he walks in the house, man, she just grabs him and squeezes him and hugs him and kisses him and says, I'm so glad I married you. You're the best thing ever happened to me. Now, if I heard you right, you said she gets two cars. Is that what you said? Did she have to ask? No, she didn't even have to ask. She got two cars. Now, what was the difference between these two women? One was abiding in her husband, right? And the other one was not. And see, that's exactly the same thing God means, isn't it, Miss Jackie? When he says, if you abide in me. In other words, you got to spend time with me. You don't go home and turn on the television and watch the TV and lay your Bible in your lap, and every commercial that comes up, you read a little out of your Bible. That's not abiding in Jesus. That would be kind of like that girl said, oh, honey, I'll fix you dinner after a while. We've got to wait for a commercial. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That verse is the very verse, the main crux of what I use whenever I called my granddaughter back from the dead 13 years ago when she was killed in a car wreck. When the doctors all told me, it's over, she can't live, her brain stem severed. Her eyes are jerked out of her brain. Her skull's crushed in five places. Every organ in her body is damaged. Her right knee is crushed. Her left leg's broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. I'm sorry, sir, it's over. If I got a God that can make the universe and I got a verse like this, what can I do with this?
Anything.
That's exactly right. If I'm abiding in him and his word's abiding in me, what did you say I could ask for?
Anything.
And he'll do it for me. And I asked him to restore my granddaughter, and he did. And today she's 16 years old. In fact, her and grandma yesterday was out riding horses together. You know, isn't that amazing? I mean, with the brain stem severed and eyes jerked out of the brain and the skull crushed, and it's impossible. But Luke 1:37, put it on the board. Look, Luke 1:37, look at this. For with God, in other words, there's not anything impossible. With my God that made the universe. The one that spoke and the world came into existence. The one that one day they put two microscopic seeds that I can't even see together in my mother's womb, and 9 months later I came out, and 75 years later I'm still running and jumping and playing on this earth. I only know one that can do that, don't you? And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of Gods. He is God. He is the Master. He is everything. You've got to get a hold of who he is. And when you get a hold of who he is, then you'll be just like that little boy with his daddy. Come on, boys, get my dollar. Y'all boys like to have my dollar. But I'm going to keep it today. You guys ain't going to get it from me because I got Daddy with me. It makes all the difference in the world when we have Daddy with us, when we know that Daddy is bigger than anything else. Well, this story I was telling you about the lady, her and her husband, when I went over there, I began to teach them these scriptures. And after about 3 hours, I said, ma'am, if you just believed God, you could walk. You wouldn't have to be in that wheelchair. People say, Thurman, you're crazy. No, if I'm crazy, the Word's crazy. Because where am I getting all these promises? From the Word. And God said He sent His Word and healed us. So it's the Word that heals us. It's His promises that heal us. You got to know Him. You got to believe Him. So anyway, after about 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever, lots of times I spend 4 or 5 hours with a single couple or a single person teaching them faith before I can get them healed. And sometimes it takes longer than that. But this night, I'd been with this couple for hours. And finally, I said, ma'am, if you would just believe these promises. She said, sir, maybe those promises are not yes every time. She said, you know, God can say no. I said, yeah, He can say no. But I said, He only says no when you're living in sin. Only says no when we are not obeying the Scripture. I said, so if we have our sins repented of, and I know you have because I've been talking to you and your husband now for hours, I said, these promises, His Word will and has already healed you. And she said, but you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says maybe. And I said, do you have a scripture for that? And she said, well, no, I don't have a scripture for that, but I've heard it said in church. I've even heard preachers say it. I said, you know, if you've heard a preacher say it, I would have asked him where he got that. Because I said, it doesn't mean I know all of the Word, but I said, I've read the Word many times, and I've never seen anything like that in the Bible. So I told her, I said, ma'am, I'll tell you what. What if I could show you a verse in God's Word that says no matter how many of these promises God makes us, His promises every time is yes. He never says no. I said, could you walk out of that wheelchair then? She said, I could, but she said, there's no such thing. I said, ma'am, I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. But if God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, even among me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. I said, now then, verse 20 is the clincher. For how many? Wow, so obviously we need a message on all, right? For all the promises of God in Him or in Christ are maybe. Oh, that's not what it said.
No.
That's why you always need to watch a preacher, right?
Yeah.
You never know what he may say. And if he says something don't agree with the Word, then who do you need to agree with? The Word. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. I said, ma'am, there's your promise. This woman looked at this, and she read that for all the promises. And she just, you can just see the gears turning in her head as she's sitting there looking at this scripture. For all the promises of God in Him are yes. I said, you told me you were in Christ. You believe in Jesus, right? And she said, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, then all these promises we went over. Of course, I had went over many, many promises in that 3 or 4 hours I was there. But how many do you need?
One.
That's exactly right. You only need one. One promise from God, if you believe this, just like I told her, I said, if you believe this and you know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, I said, all you got to do is believe that. She sat there forever and she looked at those scriptures. Finally, she laid her Bible down in her lap and she looked up and she said, Lord, I'm going to ask you to forgive me for my unbelief. She said, Lord, I haven't believed your word. I didn't know your word. But she said, this man has come over tonight and showed us your word. So she said, Lord, I want to praise you and thank you that I don't have to be in this wheelchair no more. Lord, I am so grateful that I'm healed. I am so grateful that you bore my sickness and removed my disease. Did he do that? Did he say that?
Yes.
So if he bore her sickness and removed her disease, why should she keep holding on to it? Because she don't know. That's why all of us do what we do, because we don't believe the promises of God. She sat there and she praised him, and then she raised her hands and she said, Lord, I am so grateful that I don't have to roll around in a wheelchair no more. She's still sitting there in the wheelchair. Lord, I am so thankful that you bore my sickness and removed my disease. Lord, I'm so thankful that your promises are always yes and amen. I'm thankful, Lord, that I can walk. I'm thankful, Lord, that I can run in the name of Jesus. She's still sitting there in the wheelchair. So 15 or 20 minutes, a long time went by. I walked over there and she still got both hands up like this, praising the Lord. And I reached up and took one of her hands and I said, ma'am, why don't we do something about this? I said, you know, you praised him enough. He knows. He's got the message. I said, why don't you just get out of that wheelchair? And I just said, jerked her up like that. And when I did, she just went to running all over the place. And that woman's been completely healed ever since. Now think about all the years that woman has sat in that wheelchair when Jesus' promises were always yes and amen. But she didn't know it. And besides that, I had to find her sin. When we go to Mark 11, 25 and 26, in Mark 11, 22 to 23 and 24 is two of the most powerful verses in God's Word. Mark 11, 22 and 23. But let's look at Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in who?
God.
Now then, he didn't tell us to have faith in medicine. He didn't tell us to have faith in doctors. Did you know, now I hate to tell you this, but I have a good friend that his wife was an RN for a long time. And one day, my wife and I went to see them. So they lived in another city. We happened to be passing through this city. So I hadn't seen them in lots of years. I went to school with him and everything. And I thought, well, I'm going to stop by and see him. And we stopped by to visit a little while. And while we were there, his wife was working at a doctor's office. And so, you know, we went down there where she was so we could see her and everything. We watched her give a few injections, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And then when she'd have time, she'd come over and talk with us a few minutes. And nearly everybody she was giving an injection to was an older person. You know, back in that days, I was 30, 35, you know, so I didn't know what it was to be old. You know, had no idea. But these old people, you know, 60, 65, you know, 70, old people were coming in getting their shots. You know, I mean, back in those days, if you were 70 years old, I mean, you were over the hill, kid. I mean, if you don't believe it, just ask me. I would have told you. I knew you was over the hill. But I didn't know what it was like to be 70 or 75. But, you know, now that I've got there, I know it's not old. Praise the Lord. Is it, Eric? No, we're not old. So anyway, when she was doing this, I said, what is wrong with these people? She said, nothing. I said, what do you mean, nothing? I said, I see you giving them injections. Oh, yeah. She said, they all think they're sick. But she said, there's not anything wrong with any of them. Not a single thing can we find wrong with, not one of them. I said, and what are you giving them a shot for? She said, it's just warm water. We give them a shot of warm water. She said, they come in here so down and depressed and everything else and can't hardly walk. I got to have my shot. And she said, I give them a shot of warm water. And said, in 5 or 10 minutes, look at them dancing out of here feeling like new people. They had faith in that water. They didn't even know what it was. Do you know this story I'm telling you is a true story? This is not something I made up. This is a true story. And it is a known fact in the medical world, whatever you have faith in to heal you, if you believe it's going to do it, it's going to work. You know, you can go to the doctor and the doctor can give you a medicine that has absolutely no healing power at all. And you can take that and doc, have you ever given this medicine before? Oh yeah, I give it to lots of people. And it works every time. It really is a great medicine. How many I'm supposed to take? Well, two a day. Well, if I'm supposed to take two a day, three will surely do better, right? Have you ever heard people make those statements?
Yeah.
Of course. You know, if two's gonna do a good dip, three gotta really help me. So maybe I'll just take four a day. You know, two in the morning, two in the afternoon. But if they have faith that medicine's going to heal them, guess what? It will. It's their faith that healed him. Just like the little lady had come, and literally the little lady is dragging through the crowd, and she drugged through and pushed herself through everybody and got up to Jesus' hem of his garment, and she reached over and touched the hem of his garment. What did Jesus say? Whenever the healing power flowed out of him, he turned and looked at her, and he says, "Daughter," what did he say to her, Pat? "Your faith has made you whole." Is that right? But here's what she said. She said within herself, which means she thought. She didn't even speak it. She said, "I know if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." Is that what she said?
Yes.
She had faith in him. And Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God." You've got to have faith in whatever you're going to believe is going to heal you. If you believe it's going to be a glass of water, you've got to have faith in that glass of water. But if you believe God's going to heal you, you've got to have faith in God. You've got to believe it. And then let's look at a couple of powerful promises after this. If we have faith in God, verse 23, look what it says. "For if you have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Is that an awesome statement? I mean, whoever made that statement must have been crazy and stupid. Who was it that made that statement? Who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one said that? Oh, so if he said that himself, should we be able to have faith in that? Yes. So why don't we? Why do we not have faith? Why is it we can't believe the King of the universe? I mean, he's the one that made this earth. Just think, one day when he decided, "I'm going to make me an earth." And he just says, "Let there be," and what happened? There it was. Eric and I was talking about some of these things because I love the cosmos. I said, "Here we got this little bitty tiny golf ball we call the earth. Here we got this great big giant ball that's 15 foot in diameter. It would barely fit inside this room. And off over here to the side, we got a golf ball. Little bitty tiny thing, this big. And that's us. We're on that little ball. And we're spinning at about 1,002 miles per hour. We make one revolution every 24 hours and 0 seconds every day. And in the process of spinning like this, we're also going forward at almost 70,000 miles an hour. Now that's pretty fast. And we're going around the sun, this big monstrous thing here that's heated up, that's 15 foot in diameter, and we're a golf ball over here. We're going around this thing at 70,000 miles an hour, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and the twist, there ain't never been a baseball throwed like this, that it all, at four different places around this thing, the earth tilts on its axis to give us four seasons. Now, is that out of this world? And it happens every year, doesn't it? You know, we get winter, you know, we get spring, we get fall, we get summer. We get all these things, right? And you set your clock by it. And then when you take all of this, amongst all the millions and billions of stars and everything else that's out there, our galaxy is also flying through space around the center of the galaxy, obviously, or the center of the cosmos, or whatever we're going around. We're only traveling at 500,000 miles an hour. Now then, I realize that's nothing. You know, anybody could do that, right? You've got to be kidding me. I may be an engineer and I may build high-rise buildings all over the world. I built all kinds of things in my life. But let me tell you what, if God were to come to me and say, "Son, I want you to build me another little galaxy off out there in the north. Speak me a couple of worlds into existence." I wouldn't know where to start. They didn't teach me that in engineering school. I didn't learn how to do that. Isn't that something? Yeah, I can build a building. Yeah, I can fly an airplane. I can do all kinds of things that I want to do. But these kind of things are a little bit out of my line of work. But for him, was it any problem? No. Why can't we have faith in God? Why can't we totally trust him? Why can't we take his promises and say, it's written? Why can't we be like the little woman with the issue of blood? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, maybe I'll be healed. Is that what she said? I know I will be healed if I just touch him. Mark 11:24. Look at this one. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I think about this ministry that I know about. It come the time of the month to pay all the bills. And they like $10,000, having enough money to pay all the bills. So the secretary come to the pastor and told him, said, Pastor, what are we going to do? We're short $10,000 to pay all the bills this month. Oh, he said, well, let's stop just a minute here and let's pray. He stopped and he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and he quoted two or three verses. You made me all these promises, you know, that if we'd tithe and everything else, you'd meet all of our needs. So, Father, we need $10,000. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. He told his secretary, he said, the check's in the mail. She said, but, he said, don't give me no buts. The check's in the mail. We'll get it in a day or two. No problem. Didn't we ask God for $10,000? She said, well, yeah. He said, don't you believe? Well, she said, well, he said, I do. And I prayed the prayer. So he said, I guarantee you'll get it. Well, about 2 days later, the secretary come running in there. Pastor, we just got a check for $10,000. He said, well, I told you. Now, you talk about a man that's got faith. Is that a man with faith?
Yes.
Yeah. He knew when he asked his God to run his ministry that God had given him, he needed $10,000 extra. All he had to do is go to the boss and ask in faith, and it was his. But he had to believe with no doubt in his heart, right? Because the Lord says there, therefore, I say unto you what things soever you desire. So I needed $10,000. Now then somebody said, well, that means I can ask for $10,000. If you're running a ministry and God puts you in that and you're $10,000 short and you can believe by faith like that pastor did, guarantee you can do the same thing he did. But don't walk out of here and say, well, I'm going to ask for $10,000. I said, what are you going to use that for? I don't know, but I'll find some place to put it. No, you don't need it. You know, it's not something... God is just not a bellhop. You just can't go to him and say, I want $10,000 so I can spend it on my own lustful desires. He says, James clearly says, you have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask amiss. So you're wanting to spend it on your own lustful desires. You never ask God for something that's not for his glory. In fact, I were to ask this question. I want you to think about this. If God were to drop $100,000 in your lap before dark today, how many of you would be happy? Everybody would be happy. But my next question was, what would be the first thing you would do with the first part of that money? There's a man that may get it because he had the right answer. That's exactly what you should do, brother. I mean, if God were to drop $100,000 in our lap as Christians, the first thing we should do is, Lord, I'm going to give you at least 10% of that money somewhere into wherever you want me to put it, right? And wherever God told you to put it, don't argue with him. Just put it in there. In fact, it might not hurt anything if you didn't give just tithes, but you gave offerings to go with it. So you took $10,000 out of that $100,000 and said, okay, God, here this is. And Lord, I want to give you an extra two or three or five or whatever you want to be blessed with. I want to give you this extra and I want to thank you. And I will have to say that here a while back, somebody came to church and they had a real need for, I think it was $300, $500 or whatever it was. But they had to have money or they were going to be thrown out of their apartment if they didn't get this money today. So my wife looked at me and didn't have to say anything. I knew when it comes to a single woman that's fixing to get evicted from her apartment, all I got to do is look at her and I could read her eyes when she said, honey, give them the $300. I know what she's going to say. So I thought, I need that $300 for something else. But I know what my wife's going to say and I believe I know what God would say. Give her the $300. So I gave her the $300. I walked out of church, went somewhere, and was walking down the street, and a lady walked over to me and said, Thurman, the Lord moved on mine and my husband's heart to support your ministry. And I said, well, thank you. Praise God. She handed me a check closed up. So I didn't even look at it. I just put it in my pocket and said, thank you very much. And I come home and didn't look at it till I got home. When I got home, I pulled it out of my pocket and unfolded it. And it was a check for $1,000. Now then, see, God saying, don't try to put me to the test, son. You was obedient and that woman needed 300. You gave her the 300, so I gave you the 300 plus 700 more to go with it. Now, because you were obedient. Isn't that amazing? Yes. You know, when you obey God, He will bless your socks off. And I'm telling you, by obeying Him and doing what He said, that's how that in May we're going to close on this piece of land over here. I'm selling part of my property here. We're going to have plenty of money after May, the tithe off of the piece of land. Cheryl and I, we have a standard tithe before giving, and our tithe is 20%. So I'm going to give 20% of that money that I get for that land into the ministry, and we're going to take that some of that money, and we're going to build a road and a parking lot, you know, from the road up there to here, so y'all won't have to drive on a rough road no more. It's going to be nice, you know. So it's been 6 years in the coming. So, you know, so all you got to do is remain faithful and be obedient to His word. Now let me show you why sometimes your prayers don't get answered. After these two magnificent promises, when He starts out saying, have faith in God, and then Mark 11, 23 says we can have whatever we say, and this one says we can have whatever we desire, then let's look at verse 25 and 26 and see why we don't get our prayers answered lots of times. Look at this. Verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, do what?
Forgive.
If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now then, let's go to the next verse, 26, and see what it says. But if you do not forgive, and that's a major problem in the church today. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now then, if you're seeking whatever it is, healing, money, anything else, and you got a grudge against somebody, and you're not willing to forgive them, what's God going to do to you? He's not going to forgive you, is He? So if God doesn't forgive you, do you think there's a chance that you're going to get healed? No, not a chance. In fact, I will go to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and show you what happens to us when we don't forgive. Most people don't realize what happens in the spirit world when we do not forgive. But look what it says. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, let me ask you this question. If we had anybody in the church, now I realize there's been lots of divorces in the church, and it should never be. When we have a divorce in the church, usually, if we would just forgive, how many times? One or two or maybe three. But you know, hardly never ever see anybody that ever even thinks about having to forgive seven times in a day. Eric offends me. He's my buddy, so I can do this to him. He offends me. And I come up to him and say, you offended me. And he said, Thurman, I'm sorry. I said, okay, I guarantee I'll forgive you this time, but don't you ever do that again or I'm going to get you. Is that kind of the way we are? And then you're waiting, just waiting for him to make a mistake so you can get him. Did you forgive him the first time? No, you really didn't. That's right, you didn't forgive him. But that's the way we live as Christians. God says, if you don't forgive, I ain't going to forgive you. Therefore, Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now, he's telling us a story about the kingdom. And the kingdom is right here in you and me, right? The kingdom of God is in each one of us. So he said, and who is the head of this kingdom? Our Lord. Absolutely, our Lord. So he says, and Jesus is telling the story, so he knows it well. Then he says in verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now then, if I were to give anybody in here $100,000, I don't think anybody in here would say, that's not enough, I want more. Anybody would take $100,000 without grumbling and complaining, probably, right? Yeah, I didn't think anybody would grumble and complain if I offered you $100,000. I know if you give me $100,000, I ain't going to grumble and complain. I'm going to be praising God. But 10,000 talents is $4 billion. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't count that high. $4 billion? I can't even imagine if I were to stack them up in $100 bills. I can't imagine the size of the stack of money that would be. Can you? No, I never seen that much money. I never even heard, only the federal government handles that kind of money. You know, I never even heard about that kind of money. But he says, this guy owed him 10,000 talents. And let's see what happened in the next verse. But for as much as he had not to pay, I guess so. Boy, if he come to me and said, I want you to pay everything you owe me and I owed $4 billion, I'm in trouble too. But the Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife. Now, this is extremely important. Listen to this. Not only did the Lord command him to be sold, but his wife was going to be sold and his children were going to be sold and all that he had and payment to be made. So all of a sudden, we've opened the door to the enemy to not only your life, but your spouse's life, your children's life, and every asset you have. Cars, boats, airplanes, bank account, everything has been opened to the enemy. And this is a devastating thing. Unforgiveness is probably one of the most powerful killers in the church today. And it makes more people broke and sick and kills their children than you can imagine because they don't know these principles. But this guy said here that you're going to be sold, your wife's going to be sold, your children's going to be sold, and all that you have is going to be sold, and then payment is going to be made. Verse 26. Then he says, the servant, therefore, fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, first of all, if this guy was able to pay back $4 billion, he was a pretty good businessman. But he thought he could. He just needed a little more time. But that may be very well be the case. But let's see what happened to the next verse. It says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, does it make any difference how much you owe? And that's what's so amazing. You know, we owed God through our sins. We owed him a debt bigger than $4 billion. You know, I mean, it's amazing what we owed him. And he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's a picture of salvation. When you and I come to Jesus, we come to the Lord. I mean, say we're 40 years old when we come to the Lord. Say we're 20 years old. Of course, you know, when you're 20, you know, you probably hadn't committed near as many sins as you have when you're 40. But some of us have waited till we're 50 or 60 years old and then come to know Jesus. And by that time, we got a cotton sack full of sins dragging along behind us, right? I mean, some of y'all may not know what a cotton sack is, but, you know, if you've never had to do that, well, praise God. But I had to do it when I was a young boy, so it ain't no fun pulling a cotton sack when you're about 8 or 9 years old, you know, out in the field. But anyway, and he forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, $3,000. Not much difference between 3,000 and 4 billion, right? Oh, Betty, there's a little difference? Oh, a lot of difference. One of them had a great big debt, another one had a little bitty tiny one, didn't he? Said, and he owed him 300 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Can you imagine here? This is a man that's just been forgiven $4 billion, and he's up here with his hands around the throat of this guy that owes him $3,000, choking him, saying, pay me what you owe me. I'm going to throw you in prison if you don't pay me every penny. And the guy's just been forgiven $4 billion. Wow. What a guy. Let's see what verse 29 says. And his fellow servants, they sat down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. That sounds just like the other guy, doesn't it? Yes. Now then, verse 30. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. What a really nice guy. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you good and perfect servant. Oh, that's not what he said to him, was it? What did he say to him? Oh, you wicked. Now, how would you like for God to call you a wicked servant? Have you read in the scriptures what happens to the wicked? The wicked are cut off suddenly. They do not live out their full life. Do you want to be associated with the wicked?
No.
Not at all. I do not either. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired or asked me to. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I've had on you? Verse 34. And his Lord was angry or wroth, and delivered him to the who? The tormentor. Who do you think the roaring lion tormentor is? The devil. You know, when I learned these scriptures, I thought, somebody said, you know, said, but you got to forgive him, Thurman. I said, man, that guy, you don't know what that guy did to me. I ain't never going to forgive him. Let me tell you, when I learned this, when I learned that God's going to turn me over to a roaring lion, the devil, the king of beasts, the devil himself and his demons, let me tell you what, I don't care what anybody done to me. You know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to forgive them. It made it real easy. In other words, it's kind of like, here, I'm walking along here and I'm the big boy. You know, I'm the big boy. I said, hey, you know, I ain't forgiving you. I'm going to do what I want to do. And all of a sudden, my daddy, which is walking beside me, he's gone. And that devil is standing right there, and he's about 10 times bigger than three little boys was for that other little boy. He's a big roaring lion saying, he's roaring. Can you imagine that beast opening his mouth and breathing in your face and saying, I have legal right to you, Buster. I'm going to get you. You know how quick it takes you to repent? It didn't take me long. Lord, I repent. I forgive them. I don't care what they've done to me. Lord, I love them. See, we don't realize that, do we? But look what he said. And his Lord was wroth or angry, and the Lord delivered him to the devil and his demons till he should pay all that was due him. Now then, if I couldn't pay that debt, when I'm able to just be out here on my own working, and all of a sudden I got the devil and all of your demons on my back, and they're tormenting me everywhere I go, and every time I try to do something, my car breaks down, I'm sick, they break a leg, you know, they trip me up. I mean, the devil is working everywhere. He has total legal right to me, and he's just messing me up from one end to the other. What do you think the chances of me ever making $4 billion and paying it back? It ain't possible. It can't happen, can it, Jack? There ain't no way you can pay bills like that. I mean, you know, if you've ever done anything wrong and you finally realize that you just had one demon assigned to you, just one, and what he was doing to you, and the problems you were having, has any of you ever had a time in your life when everything seemed to be going good, and then you done something like get into unforgiveness towards somebody, and you didn't realize that the next day your car broke down, and you thought, oh, well, no problem. I bought it brand new just a while back. So I go happen to look, and it says 3 years or 36,000 miles, and the warranty's expired. And you just happen to have 37,000 miles on it. You take it down to the Chevrolet house or the Ford house or whatever, and they say, yeah, I'm sorry, the transmission blew up on it. It's very uncommon. They usually run 100,000 to 150,000 miles, but you got 37,000. But we're sorry that you're 1,000 miles past warranty, so it only costs $3,000 to get it fixed. That's why people say, why me, Lord? You ever heard anybody do that?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, there's a reason. There's a reason every time. So you leave your car to get it fixed, and you think, well, my mate or my whatever, my companion has got another car, so I'll go rent it, I'll go use it. And you go in that car and you head down to town and you hit a slick spot and you run into a truck sitting there and you tear the whole front end off of that one. And then you go and say, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh, thank goodness I got insurance. So you have the wrecker come and they tow it, and the guy checks it and he says, where's a copy of your insurance? He says, oh, it's in the glove box. I'll go, and he says, ma'am, this insured passed away 10 days ago. You have no insurance. All of a sudden you're saying, why me? And then you call home and your wife says, honey, one of the children's just sick. We got to take him to the hospital. You think, why me? Why did all this start happening? According to this scripture, why did this start happening? Unforgiveness. And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. When you get delivered to the tormentors, Let me tell you, your washing machine breaks, your car breaks, your transmission breaks, you have wrecks, your children get sick, you get sick. I mean, when you're turned over to the tormentors, and most Christians don't even believe that God would turn us over to the tormentor. But when we read these scriptures, who does it say turned us over to the tormentors? It says the Lord did. It says the Lord did. And the Lord was angry, and the Lord delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all of his due. Let's just see what verse 35 says. So likewise, Peter, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. When somebody tells me, says, you know, I just can't forgive him. I just can't forgive him for what he done. And I says, I reach up on their shoulder right here, and there's a little soft spot right there. I learned this from Dr. James Dobson, and I start squeezing. And as I squeeze just a little, and they start going down on the ground, I say, can you forgive now? No. Yes, I forgive. And that's just me pushing on it. That ain't even a devil. That ain't even a demon. So if you get the idea that God can turn you over to a tormenting spirit, and you know, there's scriptures in the Bible that's so scary. I mean, like Job 33, it says, and the Lord disciplines his children with sickness and pain deep in their bones. Their body wastes away. And it says the God that we serve is the one that's doing that. So why is he doing it? When we ask that question, why me, Lord? You don't have to go very far. Go to the mirror and look in the mirror and say, Lord, what did I do? And he'll tell you. You got into unforgiveness. You did this or you did that. But Lord, they were mean to me. He said, that's okay. I told you to forgive them and turn them over to me. I'll take care of it. Not you. That's not your job. I'm God, not you. And you say, but Lord, I'm going to take care of it this time. He says, okay, go ahead. And that's when you wind up dead. That's when you wind up sick and afflicted and in pain. And that's when you can't get healed. In fact, I think about Jenna. When I think about this, as y'all leave today, if you haven't ever seen this picture of Jenna, I'm fixing to tell this story. But as you go through the doorway right there, as you look straight ahead, you'll see about 8 pictures on the wall of a little girl that's between 6 and 7 years of age that had eczema from the time she was born until she was 8 years old. That's her pictures. Then after you look at her and see how bad she looks, when you look to the left, there's another set of pictures of 6 8x10s. That's Jenna after we found the sin and prayed the prayer of faith for her 2 weeks after we found the sin. Now, we prayed for her for 1.5 years without knowing what the sin was, and God wouldn't answer our prayer. We could not get that little girl healed. What happened? Well, this mother and father, they called me and said, we have a little girl that's 6 years old, and she has eczema. We've had her to 12 doctors, and the doctors cannot help her. Now, in Deuteronomy 28:27, I believe, look at what it says. The who?
Lord.
The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. Now, that's a curse from God, and that's just one of the many. If you haven't read chapter 28 of Deuteronomy lately, by the time you get to verse 65, you'll be so sick of seeing curses, you won't be able to stay in there no longer. It makes you, if by that time you're not glad to repent of anything. But anyway, I knew these scriptures, and I told this couple when they called, said this little girl had this itch, and they said, we listened to your story about your granddaughter, Caitlin. See, Caitlin's the one I called back from the dead. You know, I took God's word, and literally today, she's 16 years old now, and she's totally, completely healed virtually. She's going to school, riding her horse with grandma. They just have a good time together all the time. And she spent a night with us a couple nights ago, I guess. She loves to hang out with grandma, and grandma loves to hang out with her, so they have lots of fun together. So anyway, this couple had heard the story about Caitlin, and they called me and says, Pastor, with your faith, we know that if you pray for our daughter, she'll be healed. I said, well, I wish that was true. I wish that was true. I said, but faith is an important thing, and you have to have it. Do we not?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to have it. But I said, it requires something besides faith. In other words, a while ago when we read those two scriptures, Mark 11, 23, 24, I mean, we could speak to the mountain. We could say anything. And what could we get from those scriptures, brother? What did it say?
Everything.
Everything. Man, I mean, those are all, I love those scriptures, don't you? But then if we read verse 25 and 26, he tells us why they won't work. Because of unforgiveness. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But, you know, but when you come praying, you know, you got to forgive. If you don't forgive, then I ain't going to forgive you. So if I don't forgive you and I'm God, then guess what you're going to get from me?
Nothing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're going to get something all right, but you ain't going to like what I'm going to put on you. I guarantee that. Most people don't believe God will do that, but he does. And so anyway, I told him, I said, we have got to find the sin. I said, let me ask you a question first. I said, do y'all have other children? They said, yes. I said, any of your other children sick? She said, no, they're all well. I said, okay, that tells me something. Somewhere from the last healthy child to this child, there was a span of history there that either one or both of these parents did something that didn't please God. They'd done something, but I don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. So I said, we have got to find y'all's sin. In other words, if you had children, one, two, three children, whatever you have, and they're all healthy, and then all of a sudden you have one and it's sick, something between that last healthy one and this one that didn't please God. Do you think God just out there chunking marbles to see who's going to be normal and who's not going to be? You think he's in total control? He's in total control. I guarantee you he's in total control. And if you're obeying him, all your children are going to be blessed and not cursed. I told him, I said, we're going to have to find the sin. Well, I sent them a whole bunch of teachings. And of course, one of the things they listened to had this scripture on it, Philippians 2:14. Now, this is something I know no Christian ever does this. Philippians 2:14. Look at this. Do all things without murmuring and disputing or grumbling and complaining. No Christian does that, right? Does Christians grumble and complain? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Isn't that awful? God told us in his word to do all things without grumbling and complaining. And I tell you what, there's not a one of us in this room, not a one of us that hasn't grumbled and complained in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So anyway, they knew that wasn't the only thing that they had done wrong. So over the next year and a half, this couple, they repented of everything known to man. I mean everything. And everybody in this ministry prayed for this couple at least once or twice. And guess what kind of results we got? Nothing. Nothing. After a year and a half of praying for this little girl, and every time when I would let's talk to them, and they said, well, Pastor, we found this sin, and we've repented of this. And I said, well, maybe that's it. And so they would repent, and I'd pray, and I said, I guarantee she'll get well. Because I have to guarantee it. I have to guarantee God's going to. If I don't, I didn't believe it. So I said, I guarantee God's going to heal your daughter. Well, they'd call back in a month or 6 weeks and say, she's worse. It didn't work. Okay, then what's my explanation would have to be that we didn't find the sin. That's the only thing. It can't be that God says no, because we use some of his promises, and how many of his promises are yes and amen?
Oh.
Hey, so all of them. So if all of his promises are yes and amen, and I ain't getting my answer, then I got a sin, or somebody's got a sin. And of course, every time I'd made sure my sins were all confessed and repented of, I said, Lord, if I got anything in my life, you tell me what it is, and I guarantee I don't want what I've done wrong to block this little girl's healing. But after I prayed, Cheryl prayed, Sharon prayed, Dave prayed, I think everybody prayed. Everybody here prayed at least once or twice, and since we couldn't get the answer, that pretty well isolated it down to them. So finally, I just told them, I said, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 is an awesome verse. Jeremiah 33:3, look at what Jeremiah 33:3 says. Look at this. Call unto me, and I will what? I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. So if we need to know what the sin is, where do we go to find it? We take the word and go to God on behalf of his word, say, Lord, you made us a promise in Jeremiah 33:3. Is that right?
That's right?
So we go and we ask the Lord, what is the problem? And of course, I tell Richard, he's the daddy. I said, Richard, I want you to lead the prayer because you're the spiritual head of your house. Now, see, a lot of houses in the church are upside down. We got the woman trying to run the show and the man's not doing nothing. You know, I mean, if the woman goes to church, the man stays home, watches a football game. You know, but hey, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The spiritual head of that home is supposed to be the man. God put him in charge. He made that woman as a follower to follow him. Wherever he goes and whatever he does, she's supposed to go with him. She's not supposed to be running the show. She's not supposed to be dictating what happens in the home. He's supposed to be dictating what's going on. And she's supposed to obey. God made the woman for the man. The Lord told you to submit to your husband in everything, right? And lots of women don't do that. You know that?
Yeah.
And that's why they have trouble staying married. Anyway, in this case, I told Richard, I said, Richard, you're supposed to be the spiritual head, and I believe he was. I said, I want you to lead the prayer of Jeremiah 33:3. I want you to ask the Lord, what did y'all do wrong to keep you from getting your answer? Or what caused the Lord to strike your daughter with this sickness, this curse? They prayed about 3 weeks. And at the end of that 3 weeks, Sally, the mother, she called me and she said, Thurman, this morning when I woke up, I heard two words, lying and deception. I said, you have any idea what that means? She said, I know exactly what that means. I said, well, tell me. She said, when I was 39 years old, I went to my husband, which was 43 years old, and told him, honey, my biological clock is ticking, and it's not going to be many years till I'm going to be too old to have babies. So she wanted one more baby. And so she went and asked her husband for one more baby. And he says, I am 43 years old. He said, if we start trying to have a baby now, it might take us a year or two. You know, sometimes you don't just get pregnant the first time you go to bed together. You know, sometimes it takes a while. And so he said, I might wind up with a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. So he said, no, honey, no more children. So she said, okay, I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied. She said, I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I went to my husband and said, oh, honey, I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. But it must be God's will for us to have another baby because I'm pregnant. Does that sound like Adam and Eve in the garden? God didn't like that either, did he? And so I said, Sally, that's it. I said, did you ask your husband to forgive you? She said, I did. I said, did he forgive you? She said, oh, yes. Said, he loves our little daughter. He didn't want another child, but now that we've got this 8-year-old daughter, he loves her with all his heart and said he wouldn't take $1 million for her. Well, that's the way it always is. You know, you just don't think you want one, but when you get one and you had her 6 or 8 years, you love her with all your heart, right, Miss Jackie? That's just the way we are as human beings. You know, we love our little children. And I said, and did you ask God to forgive you? And she said, I did. I asked the Lord. Now then she'd ask her husband to forgive and he'd forgiven her. She asked the Lord to forgive her. How do I know God forgave her? Because the word says he always forgives us when we confess our sin, right? God never says, oh, you old woman, you, I ain't forgiving you. Did he ever say that?
No.
He says, when you come to me, he says, my dear, all you have to do is repent and confess that sin. And I don't care what it was or how bad it was. I forgive you. Isn't he an awesome God?
Thank the Lord.
Oh, thank the Lord. Goodness, Lord, I'm so grateful. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing if he wasn't a forgiving God. Could you, Scott? No, me and you'd be cut off a long time ago, wouldn't we? That's for sure. But anyway, I said, okay. So after I told her, I said, now then I can pray the prayer of faith for the healing of your daughter. I can use this scripture in John 14:13-14. Now, let me show you this wonderful promise in John 14:13-14. Look at this. After we've called unto the Lord and we got the answers, they called and God answered them. He told them what the problem was. John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. Now, brother, that's a pretty awesome promise, isn't it? And that come from our Lord, right? Wow, our Lord made us that, the one that made the cosmos, the one that made the galaxies and the stars, the one that makes the sun and the moon and all the stuff he made. He made that promise to us, his children. You think he's big enough to do that?
Yeah.
You think he's big enough to heal that little girl?
Yeah.
And in fact, I said, now I can pray for the healing of your baby. And the mother says, I don't want you to pray for her healing. I said, why? She said, now that I've learned it's my sin that made her like this. If you haven't seen her, when you walk out that door and look at her pictures, you'll be amazed at how scarred her body is. She's awful. She said, I do not want my baby to be scarred all of her life because of my sin. So she said, since I've asked my husband to forgive me and I've asked God to forgive me, I know you've told us we can ask for anything in John 14, 13, and 14. So I want you to ask God to give my baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. I said, I know the one that can do that. And when you realize he's a faith God and you get what you ask for in faith, you don't just say, oh God, if it be your will you please do something for this little girl? No, you don't do that. You say, Lord, you said, and you quote him the word and said, Lord, we got all the sins confessed. Now this woman, this mother, she wants a brand new coat of skin on this baby. So Father, in Jesus' name, according to Mark 11, or according to John 14, 13, 14, I'm asking you to give this baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars, and I want to thank you since you made us a promise. It's written in your word. I'm asking for it, and I'm thanking you for it. It's done. You said do everything with prayer, with thanksgiving, and the answers are always yes and amen. So, Lord, thank you. This little girl has brand new skin. And in 2 weeks, when you look at the second set of pictures out there, you'll find that little Jenna does not have a mark or a scar on her body. Nowhere. When you go out, I want you to look at those pictures. As soon as you walk through the doorway right there, the ones on the right are all the pictures of Jenna when she was sick. The ones on the left, the ones on the left was 2 years after we prayed for her, but she was healed like that in 2 weeks. But I told the story several times, and I had the pictures of her when she looked terrible. And so people saw that, and finally one day somebody says, well, Thurman, where's the picture of her after she got healed? I said, well, I don't have any. They said, you have a testimony like that and you don't have any pictures? I said, you know, I just believe this woman told me the truth. And so I said, I've never even seen her since she got healed. And I said, okay, so after church was over, I went in, I called her. I says, how's Jenna? She said, beautiful. I said, great. I said, well, how old is she now? I think they said 10. I said, what would be the chances of me getting some 8x10 pictures or some little pictures and I'll blow them up to 8x10. I'd like to see what she looks like. Man, they sent us 6 of them, just bam, just like that. And we went out and had those made. In fact, one of the men that goes to church here sometime, he took those pictures, and he took one or two of them when she was all bruised in terrible shape, because he had a friend that had a daughter, had eczema just like this. And he said, if God healed her, he'll heal my friend's daughter too if we find the sin. I said, of course he will. You know, I mean, God's no respecter of persons, is he? No, he's not a respecter of persons. You get rid of sin, he'll heal you or your child. And so he took some of the pictures of her while she was all beat up. And then he took a couple of the pictures after she got healed and went down to Walmart and told them he'd like to leave these and they'd like to pick them up and as soon as he could. They said, well, we'll have them ready for you in 2 hours. And so he said, good, I'll be back in 2 hours. I'll go have something to eat and then I'll come back and I'll pick up my pictures. He walked up there to pick up the pictures, and when he said he'd come to pick up the package, when they brought it forward, 2 police officers stepped up right by his side. And he says, can I help you guys? They said, we want to know what happened to that little girl. Were you beating her? They thought that he was you know, there's sick people in the world that does those kind of things? He said, no, I'm a Christian, and my pastor gave me these pictures. This is a little girl that was sick and afflicted, and he got the parents to confess the sin, and he prayed for the child, and this is what the child looked like 2 weeks later. This is what our God did, and they almost didn't believe that. He said, I'll take you back out to the church if you want to go, if you want to follow me out to the Living Savior Church. I can confirm this, and I can show you the rest of the pictures. But they finally believed him and let him go. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like the night that I was coming home several years ago. I was coming home on Sunday morning at 2:00 in the morning, and I'm driving about 45 miles an hour, and ain't a car nowhere to be seen. And where there's a turnoff there to go into that shopping center, whatever it was, they'd made a little lane there. It kind of dogged over a little bit. So when I come along there, I kind of run over that line about a foot. And then I got back out on the main road, and all of a sudden, blink, 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 blink. And I thought, what is this? Where'd that guy come from? I thought, well, he must be on the way to pick up somebody. So I pulled off the side road, and he pulled in behind me. And he comes and said, can I see your driver's license and your insurance? And I said, yes. I said, what'd you stop me for? He's got his light shining all around in there, and he says, ah. He said, what's that bottle right there in the middle of the seat right there? I reached over and got the bottle and picked it up, and I took the lid off, and I said, It's my anointing oil. He said, you're what? I said, it's olive oil. I said, I'm a pastor and I cast out devils and heal the sick with this stuff. He says, oh my God, do you know who I thought you was? I said, I have no idea. He said, coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, driving 40 miles an hour, I thought you was an old drunk going home from the bar. He had no idea that I was a man of God with anointing and oil, that I mean, the Word of God says to anoint with oil and lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Do y'all know that?
Yeah.
So if God says to do that, what do you think I'm out doing in the wee hours of the morning? It ain't what you might think. I ain't out drinking that booze, I'll say that. But if I was drinking that olive oil, it'd probably be good for me. One last scripture. Let's go to Mark 16, 17 and 18, and I want to show you a scripture that I've used so many times to get so many people healed in my life after they repent of sin. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now then, it took me a long time to realize the signs only follow who? The believing believer. Is that right? Now you can have a believer that don't believe these things will work and they won't work for them, because God is a faith God, right? You have to believe Him with how much doubt in your heart?
None.
You got to have no doubt in your heart. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Now then, do you believe you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
I mean, if you believe you can, then you can. You know, if you're walking in obedience to God's word and you know that you have all power and all authority over demons, I mean, I'll just give you an example right quick. There was a couple, an older couple had a 10-year-old grandson, and they called me on Thursday and said this kid was totally unruly and we can't do nothing with him. So I told him, I said, bring him to the healing school Saturday. So they brought this little 10-year-old boy at the end of the healing school. They came up and I said, where's the boy? And they said, well, he's back yonder. I said, call him up here. They called this boy up here and I got down on my knees in front of him. I said, son, do you know Jesus? Nope. I ain't interested in Jesus. Don't know nothing about Jesus. I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Now then, what is it that's in him that's talking that don't want him to know nothing about Jesus?
A demon,
of course. How much power do I have over demons?
All.
I have all power. So I commanded that devil to come out of that boy and go to the abyss. I said, and do not enter him again in the name of Jesus. I said, now, son, how would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, I'd love to. I asked the boy to accept Jesus. He did. About 2 weeks later, Grandma called me. She said, Pastor, you ain't going to believe the difference in this boy's life. He's a good little boy. Now, why did she say that? Where do we live? Why did you not think I would believe it? If I hadn't believed it was going to work, it wouldn't have worked in the first place. Is that right, Eric? I believe. That's like the other day. Cheryl was downtown here at one of the food places or the clothing places, and she ran into a lady that her grandson's name was Cody. She said, Betty used to set my grandson Cody. And of course, Cheryl had heard me tell her this story. My wife, she said, I can keep any child till she kept Cody for about 3 weeks. And then she told me one afternoon, she said, honey, I've met my match. This boy cries, screams, kicks. Is that normal?
No,
it's not normal. He has a tormenting spirit. See, but nobody really knows this. And so when the mother, they can't do nothing with the boy. He's 9 months old now and he's screaming, kicking all the time. And he don't like to eat, don't like to sleep, nothing. And Betty tried to keep him and all he does is kick and fuss and cry and scream. And when she told me, I said, that's not normal. So I just went to the Lord. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, what's wrong with Cody? Just as clear as a bell. I mean, he just as clear instantly. He says, tormenting spirit. How much power do we have over tormenting spirits?
All.
So I said, okay, honey, I know what's wrong with Cody. I said, when Mama brings him tomorrow, I'll cast that demon out of him. So they brought the little Cody, set him down in a high chair, and he's kicking, screaming, and he's not knocking his food off, and he don't want nothing to do and everything. And Mama leaves crying and everything else. And Betty said, see what I mean? I said, yeah, no problem. So I pulled his little high chair right up here, and I put his little shoulders right there, and I pulled him, I looked him right in the eye, I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus and go to the abyss, and don't you ever come back in Jesus' name. I said, now Lord, fill this boy with the Holy Spirit and put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in him. I said, it's done. Turn him loose. I said, I'm going to work. I guarantee you and Cody will have a great day today in the name of Jesus. Do you hear any faith in that? I got home that afternoon about 7 o'clock, and this is the first words out of my wife's mouth. You ain't going to believe what happens then. I said, guarantee you and Cody had a good day, didn't you? She said, it's unbelievable. He was a perfect boy. Said he didn't cry, nothing. Well, that was on Friday. Well, Monday, when Mama brought Cody back, she walked in, she said, Betty, what did you do to my son? She said, what do you mean? Did you give him some medicine? She said, of course not. I would never give him medicine without you telling me. Why? She said, he's normal. He doesn't cry. He doesn't kick. He doesn't scream. He's normal. You got to have done something. She said, Thurman prayed for him. And she turned around, looked at me and said, well, whatever you did, it worked. And of course, she left. When she left, I told Betty, I said, why didn't you tell her I cast a demon out of him? And my wife that had lived with me for 35 years or whatever it was at that time, at least, she looked over at me and said, honey, I live with you and I'm not even ready for this. She said, I know she's not. Why are we not ready for these kind of things? We don't get in the Word enough with God, do we? Lack of knowledge. That's exactly right, young lady. So the other day, Cheryl had the privilege of being with the grandmother, and the grandmother said, Cody is now 15 years old. I think he was 9 months old when I cast those demons out of him. How did I find out what was wrong with him? I asked the Lord. And what did he tell me? He has a tormenting spirit. Now see, he knew he'd already trained me. I knew how much power I have over those things, just like you know, Scott. You know how much power you have over tormenting spirits? All right. They have to be subject to you. When we learn these principles and how the kingdom works, we can kick out these devils. And the thing about it is, if you can find the sin that's keeping somebody from getting healed, they have to get rid of that sin. If you cannot find that sin, then the chances are they're not going to get well. And of course, if it happens to be unforgiveness, when you realize that you have an unforgiveness towards someone, and that's what's causing all of your problems with you, your husband, your children, your assets, and everything else, if you can't take that when you get a hold of that and get rid of all of that sin, there's something wrong with you. If you want to keep dragging along with them devils, you ain't no match for when God says, Satan, go get Eric. You don't want to hear that, do you, Eric?
No way.
No way. Because we know what them devils will do to us, don't we? And they'll hurt us. And we are no match for them. Without our big brother Jesus with us, we are no match for them devils. You see what I mean? Now then, if you can only believe, just like he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall you cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And then verse 18, you shall take up serpents, that's the devil himself, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, all this is all predicated on the fact that you find the sin and get people to repent of the sin. Now, you can do all that you want to. You can anoint them with oil until they're slick as a greased pig if you want to, and they ain't going to get well as long as they still got that sin in their life. They have to get rid of sin. You have to get rid of evil. You cannot continue to live evil and be a child of God and get anything from God, can you? No, you cannot. So, I mean, that's why we have such great results here. We always find the sin or do the best we can. And for everybody we find the sin for, and sometimes it takes a while. Like little Jenna, it took a year and a half. Little Cody, it took me seconds. Isn't that something? Literally took seconds. I asked God, he told me exactly what the situation was. Cast that devil out the next morning, and little Cody, 15 years later, still a totally healed young man. In fact, a few years later, they had another boy, and he was already a 2 or 3 year old boy. Whenever mother stopped and picked me up on the road one day, I was going to the post office when my transmission line broke, and I was running down the road, and she stopped and picked me up and brought me home. I said, is there anything I can do for you? She said, yes. She said, your faith walk has changed mine and my husband's life forever. And so she said, before you leave, I want you to pray again for my son, Cody. And I want you to pray the first time for my older boy. And I want you to bless those boys in the name of Jesus. That woman knew that when a spiritual person, man or woman, speaks the word of God, God's going to show up and do something for those children. Now, I think that's where every one of us as children of God should live. Don't you? We should be to the point where we can pray for people and see our God do great and mighty things. Yes, honey? Yeah. Cody was right here. But Jenna, everything we did with Jenna was over the phone. Everything was over the phone. I never laid hands on Jenna physically. Everything was done over the telephone. But one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life was Dr. Gary Young. Dr. Gary Young, he had fell out of a tree, 35 feet up in the air, and crushed his whole lower back. And it happened on Tuesday. They took him home a week later and put him in a bed and said, "You will never walk again." And Dr. Gary Young called me, and Cheryl and I was driving down the road in my little pickup. And I prayed a prayer of faith for Dr. Young, and God instantly gave him a brand new back over the phone, him laying in the bed in Salt Lake City, Utah. And he's still totally well to this day. Now, what can our God do, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, that's it. When you get it in your spirit, you know that He can do anything, who He really is, the King of Kings, and when He becomes your King, when He becomes your God, when He becomes your Lord. You see what I mean? When He really becomes all those things to you, and you know you got your sins repented of, and you ain't trying to hide nothing, because you can't hide nothing from Him. He knows more about you than you know about yourself, guarantee. So you do everything His way, and a guarantee when somebody prays their prayer of faith, you will get healed. Because we see it all the time. Because just like Jack, you know, I mean, I've told this story lots of times about Jack, but when Jack first came out here, he was a good Baptist. I don't think Jack had ever seen a good healing or anything. But he got his back healed right off the bat. And then he had a tumor on the back of his hand he'd had for 41 years. And we prayed for that. And every time Jack come back after that, I'd say, "How's your tumor on your hand?" He said, "It's gone." I said, "Let me see it." He'd raise his hand up there. And I said, "Jack, you're lying. It's still there." He said, "No, we prayed in faith. It's gone." And we did that for about 8 or 9 months, didn't we, Jack? One day he walked in. I said, "How's the tumor?" He said, "It's gone." I said, "I want to see it." He held up. I said, "Glory to God, it's really gone." He said, "I might have been telling you for 8 months it's gone." See, he had more faith than I did. But see, that's the way it works, isn't it, Jack? That's the way it works. So if you want to see God do something, you got to do things in faith His way. So, Father, I praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. I thank You for the wonderful day outside that You sent to us, the beautiful weather. I'm so grateful for this last week, which was so beautiful. Lord, we praise You and thank You. Lord, we really do need some rain. It would really be nice this week if we could have 4 or 5 inches of rain all over the northern Texas to put a little water back in these lakes, Lord. You said that 2 or 3 of us on earth agree about anything in Matthew 18:19, You will do it for us. So, Father, this week before the next Sunday, we ask You to bring 4 or 5 good inches of rain to this country, up all North Texas, so we can put water in the lakes. And we praise You and thank You for answering our prayer. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So we're in agreement. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name.